For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, Cindy Burgess Gerson,
Just Saying,
Kelly Barlow, and Christy Dougherty. We love you girls! Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and here I am with my gorgeous, talented, and very post-busy friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello, hello. Does it feel weird on the top of our show right now? We have nothing to promote. We don't have any live shows. We don't have any bells and whistles to throw at you guys. It's just good old classic Ben and Ron.
We don't have any audience members being really nice to us. I'm just setting up Domino's pizzas in here, like empty Domino's boxes from throughout the week. Like, pretend you're laughing, okay?
Yeah, so instead of self-promoting, I can switch gears to what we do best, which is apologizing. because the episode that – so we finally posted the – after all this, two months of hype about this live show, we do it. It's amazing. It's the best show we've ever done. It's the biggest show we've ever done. The most famous people ever. And then I post this thing on our podcast feed, and it's motherfucking glitchy. And it cuts off at like an hour and 10 minutes directly before Jeff Lewis and all of them come out, which looks so shady. So I then immediately, like within like a half an hour, I replace it with the I get the file up and working. But now it's like everyone who subscribes already has the improper thing downloaded onto their phones. And so now everyone's like, it cuts off. So let me reassure everyone, it does cut off, but it is fixed. But it's annoying. You have to basically delete the episode from your phone, and then you've got to like fully quit the podcast app if you're on iPhone. So you have to like do that thing where you double tap and you swipe up and it's like, gone, be gone. We've quit you, podcast. And you reopen it again and re-download the episode, and it'll be beautiful. Oh, super annoying. I apologize. But we also have links up on our page for if you just want to get a direct listen from Art19.
And hey, since we're not promoting ourselves, let's promote ourselves. So this week for the bonus episode, we just talked at like 3 in the morning drunk after.
It was 4 in the morning.
It was 4 in the morning drunk after our show because we could not go to sleep. And we had such a fun day. So we kind of do just a breakdown of feels after the show drunkenly.
It's I haven't actually listened. I'm going to post the bonus episode after this. I haven't listened to it since we recorded it. But yeah, Ronnie and I were so amped from the live show that we like texted at like 3:45. And we're like, oh, my God, we're still up because we're looking at all the pictures and like, whoa. And he was like, you want to do a show? I'm like, sure. But the funny thing was that you were like in bed, and it is the most low key you've ever sounded on the podcast. Like you were like, yeah, this is a great show. So fun. Like people
I
were
needed
so nice.
To go to sleep, but I could not go to sleep. And I thought, we have to do this. And you're like, get on Skype. I was like, no, honey, this is on a phone. This is a phone date. So
yeah, it sounds like I'm Frasier and you're a caller, you know? And, the thing is, I was like, leave it to us, okay? Leave it to us to spend the 2 days like working around the clock, stressing out, putting together this whole crazy show. And like we're sweating. It's 100 degrees and it's humid. And we're like, it was so many moving parts. And we have this like Shannon Bedore surprise that we're not sure if it's going to happen or not. We got like Jeff and Jenny engage, and Jenny's got like a rap she wants to do. And we're trying to coordinate that, make sure everything works out there. We got to set this, all this stuff. And then we have this thing. And then there's the after party to get the after party. And you'd think that we'd get home and just be like, ah, leave it to us to be like, okay, let's do another episode at 4 in the morning.
It's addictive. I'm telling you. So if you want that bonus, go to El Patreon. And thank you to everybody who supports us in every way.
Wait, one last thing. It's just to say that I'm like still on a high from that show. It was like a career highlight for me, truly.
I'm still on a high, and I'm still on a tired, because that day after going back to that fucking place downtown in like 100-degree weather when we're hungover and slept 4 hours to box up merch and clear,
and then I had that place,
I was like, I need to sleep for 3 weeks now. I do not move around much, okay? That is a lot of moving and heat for me.
It was awful. It was so hot and humid. And then we had to pack up everything into my Toyota Camry. So it was like I was going off to college. And that was a puzzle unto itself. And we were just sweating. And the most amazing part is we're sitting there on the street. And these two girls from Fresno are like, Ben and Ronnie, can we take a picture? We're like, where did these girls come from? How did they know we'd be? Like, it was amazing. But we were like sweating. I'm like, I hope you enjoyed your picture with us looking terrible. But that was
so
like
fun.
It was so funny. And then I had to rush up to Hollywood to do my fantasy football draft. And I didn't get to do any research. So my team is fucked this year, basically, because I was doing it on a phone in a pizzeria. So anyway, that's life. But then we hung out with a bunch of listeners. We should mention this because this did not make it into the bonus episode. And then we'll get into Orange County. But we did do our scavenger hunt. And we had one team that participated.
Yes. It was so hot. We didn't think of that when we made the whole scavenger hunt, that it's August in 100-something degree weather. And people were like, and no, we'll meet you at the bar after for the party.
But it was really cute and funny. We gave them medals, and we had a whole presentation, and we all hung out at Revolver for 4 hours. And I'm sorry to anyone if I may have started to seem like I was like, ugh. It was mainly because I was like, it was after 2 hours, I was like, I need to go to sleep right now. But I was like, I hope no one sees how tired I am right now, because
I think everyone was in the same boat. Everybody was tired, but we had so much fun. And I was like, I'll just party all night. And then after, I think, 4 or 5 hours, something hit me and I was like, I gotta go.
Me too.
Are you okay? And I said, I'm about to either eat everybody's head because I'm starving, or fall asleep, or just barf on somebody. I'm not even sure what's going to happen, but I don't want to do it in front of you guys. So bye.
Yeah, I scurried off to Tender Greens, and there were like about 6 or 7 muscly men in tank tops. And I was like just drunk enough that I just felt extreme shame. Like, why can't I be like that? Why can't I ever motivate myself? I mean, I know I'm eating a salad now, but why can't I be healthier in other aspects of my life?
Oh, it's fuck a very that. Roller coaster I was exactly where I wanted to be, in the back room, just looking at those go-go boys from the other room. I was like, you don't have to work out in this room. Screw you guys.
We were in the non-go-go dancer room. That go-go dancer came in for 1 second and like shook hands with one of our listeners and then left.
It's like, hi, nice to meet you. Also, Revolver is the best bar for us to do those parties, because it's like another world. It's very dreamy. There's like all these like gay people partying their ass off and all these go-go boys and like video, you know, video remixes and stuff. And I think it's really a fun atmosphere. It's the second time we've done it there, and it's been so great every time.
Yeah, we really have to thank Revolver Bar because they are really accommodating to us, and they're so easygoing. So if you guys are ever in West Hollywood, be sure to go in there and get a drink and give them some business, because they are good to watch for crappins.
Well, we are 8 minutes into this bitch, so let's
time
get
on to
with
stop
some
flagellating, self-flagellating.
Real Housewives of Orange County.
By the way, I meant self-aggrandizing, not self-flagellating, but I guess we probably did both.
It's probably
anyway,
a mix of both, yeah.
Yes,
this week we open with Lydia and her mom, and everybody's getting ready to do something.
Yeah.
Lydia and her mom are shopping for pashminas for some reason, and both are assuring each other that their pink pashmina is heavenly, and Lydia pulls Lisa Rinna. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's a pashmina. You both need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah, they were like, I want the pink pashmina. No, I want the pink pashmina. I'm like, this kind of epitomizes your entire storyline this season, Lydia. Like, this is the most exciting moment for you all season, you grabbing a pink pashmina.
And anything you let your mother try on, you have to buy because it's going to be covered in glitter. Like, they're not taking that back. Stop letting her try clothes on. No one wants to pay hundreds of dollars for some goddamn pashmina with glitter all over it. That shit's harder to get out than dog hair.
I just want to interrupt us to say that my phone just had a notification. It says, Leanne Locken replied, "Get in here, the trolley whistle, LMAO." Like, I don't know what's going on Twitter right now, but I'm very excited to check after the show.
Well, Twitter redid the way they do notifications. Have you noticed? They're telling me, like, so-and-so just followed so-and-so. I'm like, I don't give a crap. Why are you telling me this all of a sudden?
Oh, yeah, I've been getting that, too. I got something that was like... It was something random, like, I don't know, like the band Train is now following Don Lemon. I'm like, why are you telling me this?
I don't know. It's like some closeted gay dude you knew in, you know, Zach White Elementary is now following NASCAR. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. How are you choosing these? Like, why aren't you telling me what Liza Minnelli's doing right now? Or like,
yeah, I actually
don't know,
got one.
Natalie
I
from
actually got
Facts
one that
of
was.
Life.
I got one that was so random that I took a screenshot. It said, Glenn X and Mark just followed Laura Dern. Thanks
so
for the
random.
Update.
Yeah, it's like just picking it out of a, you know, it's like picking a ticket out of a bowl. Like, okay.
Well, I hope you're enjoying Laura Dern's tweets, Glenn X and Mark.
Congratulations, guy I knew in elementary school. You were picked to be... PR'd today for no reason by Twitter.
So anyway,
Deco is still new on the show, so he's not sure how much he has to explain stuff to us, just in case we're too stupid to understand what's going on in his scene. So he's like setting every single scene up that he's in like it's an improv scene, like the who, what, where. He's like, I am Deco, a father of a son. This weekend, Mom and she are going to look at two colleges you might go to. Like, okay, thanks, Deco.
He's like, and freeze. He hits like a fake doorbell, and he's like rubbing his stomach as he walks in. She's like, okay, Deco, I get this. You have stomachache. Close.
Close, come on. Me, about to give birth to a baby, needs to have his hair done in the kitchen with his son. Okay, Deke, okay. We can all follow the scene now, Deke.
By the way, I just want to also, it's really important for me to derail everything that you're saying, Ronnie, with mentioning what I'm seeing with my own eyeballs in my apartment. I just looked out the window, and there is a cat fighting with a hummingbird out there. Just want to set the stage. It's
I feel like that says a lot about this episode, actually. It's a good sign. The cat and the hummingbird.
This cat's, like, swatting at the hummingbird. The hummingbird's just like, you know, I mean, you can't catch a hummingbird.
Yeah, the hummingbird's like, you can't catch me, I'm Deco! Alone in the house with my son! And my wife goes to look at colleges! Oh, hummingbirds. So
okay,
then
I gotta I'm turning off my phone because I'm getting more Leanne Locken and things, and each one's cracking me up, and we're not gonna get this do this if I keep stopping to tell you what Leanne's saying now. Sorry, everyone.
So we skip over to Tamara's house, and she's like power vacuuming. She's got
like one of those Ghostbusters things.
She's got like a jet pack on her back, and she's like, "This is messed up, bitch." And Eddie's like, "I know, I'm the Mexican here." It's like, oh my God, only in Orange County can you still make Mexican vacuuming jokes and nobody blinks an eye.
Yeah, especially because they probably all voted for Trump. She's like, bitch, don't cross the streams, bitch.
She's like, you always wanted me to vacuum, bitch. And he's like, I know, I'm a dreamer.
Is Cut Fitness so pressed for customers that they're even trying to invite ghosts in there? Like, come on, Slimer. Free spin class for Slimers now, bitch.
You know what? You may be big and slimy, but there's no reason to be fat. Even slimy
Even the Stay
people
Puft Marshmallow Man needs an exercise class, batch.
How about you just become the Stay Puft Marshmallow one time a day guy? Like, what is it?
Are you the Keymaster, batch? Sorry. Who's still...
I felt like there was a Melissa McCarthy joke in there somewhere, but I was like, no. I will not subject... I love Melissa McCarthy, and I will not subject her to Tamra.
Okay. Who are you going to call? Batch Busters. Be vacuum too.
So Megan... Oh, you know, I just realized that when I abbreviate people's names at the top, so I remind myself who's in the scene or label these scenes, it says Megyn Kelly. Oh, now, that would make Orange County a good show.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly just suddenly comes in. Like, Megyn Kelly is giving me a batch look, batch. So she does to everybody.
She's a reporter. Yeah, it's Megan and Kelly, guess what? In a baby store, of course.
And Megan's like, that's a classic color. I'm like, yeah, it's white.
Yeah, she goes, like, this classic. Is such a pretty combination of white and this color. I'm like, of course, Kelly. I mean, of course, Megan likes white on white.
So exotic.
That's classic. Hey, did you see the State Puff Marshmallow Once a Day guy in Tamra's store? That guy's like so classic colored.
He keeps selling tires, though. It's confusing.
No, that's the Michelin man.
Oh. My Aspen's going to audition to be in a tire.
Is it the oil change guy? No, that's Lydia.
Oh, okay.
So then, of course, even in a baby store, there's a rose gold fucking crib to match everybody's iPhone. I really need to stop at the rose gold. I need to stop seeing it everywhere. My sister is buying everything in her life in rose gold. If it's rose gold, she'll buy it. It's like, wow, it matches my iPhone.
I feel like if you're going to do gold, do gold. Don't do rose gold. Just do it.
It just makes me mad that people are matching things to their iPhones. Okay?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I was always mad that the iPhones came out as rose gold in the first place. I'm like, of all the colors, that's the one? Like, I don't know. I feel like there are better color options out there.
Yeah.
Maybe not. They probably did their research.
She's like, yeah, that crib is $1,745. And Kelly's like, that's a pair of shoes for you.
She's like, no, that's for you. For me, that's two pairs.
That's much better, Megan. I like that Megan's like the conservative.
Yeah.
I only spent $600.
And I was like watching the scene, and I'm thinking to myself, how is Megan not bought a crib yet? You know that she probably bought a crib 3 months into her pregnancy. You know, she's buying everything, but then she actually tells us Aspen doesn't have a crib yet because we're co-sleeping. I'm like, that's funny because that's what I do on your scenes.
Yeah, Ben and I learned how to co-sleep during your scenes too, Megan.
Huh?
Also, it's not called co-sleeping, it's called babying your child so they can never make it on their own in life. Okay.
But so she said the baby sleeps next to them, but not on them. Is the baby in the mattress with them, or what's the deal with co-sleeping?
Co-sleeping is just sleeping with your baby.
See, this is the thing. This is why I rolled my eyes. I don't really care if someone co-sleeps, but I roll my eyes because I hate the parenting terms. Just say, like, that Aspen doesn't have a crib because she's still sleeping in your bed. Like, just say that. Like, co-parenting is so annoying.
It's also a way of labeling really bad habits to sound good. Like, someone told us recently, don't worry, if you guys are overserved, we'll find you a ride home. Like, totally taking any responsibility away from us. Instead of just being like, if you two fucking alcoholics get shit-faced again, we'll make sure you don't pass out in the alley. Like,
exactly.
Saying it in a nicer term doesn't, or using a nicer term on it doesn't make it any less getting shit faced.
Well, I think I like the phrase overserved because I always feel like it's a wink. Like it's like this really polite way of saying you're shit faced, which I think is hilarious. But to me, finding a term like co-parenting for something mundane as saying, yeah, the baby's in my bed, it's like it's unnecessary. Like I understand trying to put a positive spin on, oh, you're a mess. Oh, you're overserved, which is like hilariously euphemistic. But like, why the need to suddenly turn something simple as the baby's sleeping with you or like very close to your bed into like we're co-parenting into like all of a sudden a formalized process? Like, come on, get out of here.
Yeah, you sleeping with your baby.
It's fine. It's fine. Just say I'm sleeping with my baby.
Sleeping with my the baby. Enemy baby. My baby turned all the cans the same direction. I think it's time for a crib.
My baby has a mustache.
So, Megan, and this is what happens when Orange County is having a slow season. We're like,
but this episode
let's
was good.
Co-sleeping for.
I was totally into this episode. I thought this was a really good episode. I was like, it's getting some life back into it.
So Megan whips out her phone and she's like, oh my God, look at you and Shannon. You're kissing at the Irish bar. Like, check it out. It's a full-on makeout sesh. And Kelly's like, we're like total lesbos. I was like, all right, we've got a Mexican joke followed by a lesbos comment. And we haven't even gotten into a real scene yet. Way to go, Orange County.
You guys look like you're co-friending.
So Kelly tells us this story, or tells Megan this story. She's like, yeah, did I tell you about Shannon last night? She texted me, where are you? Where are you? Which is like so nice. And I was like, we're at Muldoon's. And it was like so nice to be included, you know? And then I look down at her phone and I see this. And she pulls up her voice recorder thing, which is a very specific image to see. Right.
Yeah.
There's no unless Shannon was like, I don't know, testing out the sound on her GarageBand app to record another David song.
Right.
She was recording for some reason. Right.
Well, I will also say that when you reach a certain age, you are prone to turning on apps without realizing it. And I mean that both both on your phone and in life.
Yeah, but this is pretty specific. Even if it was accident, it's pretty specific. And so she's like, yeah, that's recording. It's like the audio recorder, the voice recorder thing. And Megan's like, what did you say? And she goes, nothing. She put it away. And I should have said something, but it was so nice to be included. And I'll say it like face to face, you know, because I'm so glad I went. Like, I ordered French fries and we shared them. And she didn't throw her plate at me and scream. Like, Kelly is legit happy that she's being included, which I think is cute. That's the cute side of her.
It is cute, yeah.
And also that Shannon saw her see it and just put it away instead of being like, oh, what's up? I mean, on both parts, it's putting in an effort, you know, is what I'm saying. Both ladies are at least making an effort.
Yeah, they were. They really were. She just put it away quietly and she just...
Now we know this is going to last 5 minutes, this piece.
Yeah.
But it's still
so
nice
far so good.
Yeah, enjoy it while you see it.
So then we go over to Peggy's house, where it's like Dico and Coco and Gia and Peggy and da-da. So they're all Gia's going to be going to New York to check out LIM to see if she wants to go there. So the whole family's gathered in the kitchen, which is where they always seem to be, around that little kitchen island. Coco cracks me up, by the way, because he's like, he's just so like small and adorable. He's this adorable little, he's like a little koala bear. And I mean that in like a really cute way. Did you notice that about Coco?
He's like, doo 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 doo. No, Coco. Doo doo doo
doo doo. I feel like. No, Coco.
No, Coco. Doo 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 doo.
Coco. What is this? How you be in Harlem and trotting globe?
Coco.
When Coco's not playing ball, we can really appreciate him for, you know, it's like, oh, Coco's sitting still and not playing ball.
The Coco Globetrotters.
Thank you, Armenian Coco. Globetrotter.
So Dico's like, you're taking this purse. This purse is 60 grand. You'll get mugged in New York. Dico is Chong in my mind, okay? Get over it.
He does talk like that. He's crazy. And he doesn't want his kids. He doesn't want Gia to move away because he's very attached. He's like afraid. So, but Peggy's like, I believe in education. I went to UCLA. I majored in English. I know that may be surprising for some of you. I know for some of you that fact may have come out of, how you say, field of right? English major.
I went to UCLA. Notice that she didn't say graduate. I think she did later, but at first I was like, wait a minute. My major was English, and then I quit.
I think she just drove to Westwood and then participated in a parade where she had an English accent. She was a drum major.
Dico also went to school, but he had to drop out to support his family. I was like, because you got knocked up? I mean, there's nothing more American than that.
Yeah.
You're in. Yes. You did it. Congratulations.
He has half an education, which inspired him to make sports cars that look like Leanne Locke in Halloween costume.
We call it the Stephanie.
We call our own cars Stephanie. And we drive them to Stephanie for all our parties.
So Gia's going through her agenda. She's like, well, first we have to get off the plane, and then we're going to go to the school, and then there's a cookies and coffee meeting with all the leaders of the school, and then we're going to see what a Subway is like. And Peggy's just squinting at her. She's like, cookie, coffee? Meeting? What? Oh, too much.
Why are you... I don't understand. What is this cookie, and why is it not cocoa?
Have we celebrated my new yellow car yet? I designed it. When is the ribbon-breaking ceremony again in New York?
Do they teach you how to pull blanket off car?
Good job, Peggy.
On that school tour, they're going to be like, well, here's the dorms. And she'll be like, where's the car? Oh, that's right. You don't have one. I do. Let us celebrate.
Now, how does this dorm room work? Is roommate on black side of room or on white side of room?
Peggy does this thing where she's licking her lips like they're just totally numb. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying that because I have nothing to follow it up with. But I've noticed that she's always just kind of like, my lips? Oh, my lips are still there. Good. Tell your friends.
In Armenia, it's not called Mr. Potato Head. It's called Mr. Peggy Head. And I have to make sure my lips are still there at all times.
All right, girls. When you are in New York, no crazy shopping, okay? There's no room in your bag.
And she's like, I brought duffel bag.
He's hypocrite. He buy everything. He spend money on everything. And now I can't shop. It's like noise in my ear. I was like, what was that noise?
Your mother thinks there's money trees in the backyard where money grows off of it.
He's such a hypocrite. Every car $1 million in the garage and I can't shop? Okay. Okay, girl. Okay, Felicia. Okay.
Little does he know is that I bought plant seeds at the dollar store. So, yes, I will have my trees with dollars on them.
It is a miracle. Miracle grow. So Dico,
Coco, don't play near Dollar Tree plantation.
So Gia's like, bye, Felicia. And he's like, who is Felicia? So over at Kelly's house, she's hanging out with her mom. And she's like, am I the only one who sees that these tomatoes are rotten? Is there nobody else? I mean, these tomatoes are rotten. And why do people keep throwing them at me? Like,
Well, Kelly, maybe if you didn't ship your mom off to senior center, she could be on top of the Kelly situation. I mean, the tomato situation. I also love the way that Bobby poked her head up from the staircase. I'm telling you, she is a meerkat. She is a lady meerkat. She just pokes her head up like, huh? Huh? Huh?
She really does. It's like when a cat is taking a nap and then it hears something and its head is just like, but its eyes are still kind of like trying to wake up.
She's like, I could have sworn I saw a hummingbird around here.
It's like, how was last night? Did you do stuff last night? What did you do? Was it fun?
Her earrings just jangling around like she's been running a mile. And Kelly's like, yeah, I had fun until I looked at the phone. And then I saw this. I saw this. And she shows the same video or voice note recorder thing. She goes, what do you think this means? And she goes, she was recording you. No doubt about it. That's a voice recorder thing. No doubt about it, Kelly. This isn't something we need to have a discussion about because there's no doubt.
Case closed. So the real issue here was actually not Shannon. The real issue is at the end of the baby store scene, Kelly had told Megan, like, yeah, you know, like, don't say, like, I'm going to talk to Shannon. I don't want it to be a whole thing. I'm just going to talk to her about it. I want to go to her first. Well, guess what? Megan went and called up Shannon, and then Shannon immediately sent a text like, I don't even know how to use a phone. What is a phone? And it's like, last thing I knew, there had dials on them. And I thought this thing, I thought it was a calculator that you could talk on. So
it's coming from a can with a string that's running all the way to Shannon's house.
I heard that you heard nothing. Can you hear me through this can?
They're calling it a smart can. Apparently you can get navigation on this can now also. Imagine
I can
that.
Call Kelly only, and I can also hold baked beans in here.
So So basically, Shannon texted her and was like, no, I definitely did not do that. I don't even know how to do that. I wouldn't do that. And so Megan's like, okay, well, you know, I if you say that, I thought I saw that, but if you say that, I will believe you. So, but now Kelly's mad at Megan.
Yes. And we also got Kelly a montage because Kelly's like, well, Shannon and I do have a history of Shannon possibly trying to set me up. I mean, maybe it was in my head, but maybe she's trying to set me up. And then we get that whole montage of, you know, Shannon trying to set her up.
Yeah.
And then, I had no idea you knew those women. At that party. Shannon just like completely oblivious to everything. And Kelly's like, okay. But, you know, I'll just, you know, pretend that that's all in my head or whatever. But Megan, yeah. Jesus. So she calls Megan or she tells her mom. She's like, what the hell? And she's like, well, what's she doing there? You know what she's doing? She's trying to stir the pot, Kelly. She's stirring the pot. It's like if there's rice pudding being made in there. If you don't stir it, it sticks to the bottom of the pot. She's just trying to save your pots, Kelly.
Just stirring it around. Just stirring it. I mean, of course she told someone she's stirring the pot. So then Kelly calls up Megan, and she's like, well, Megan, I was going to tell her because it was my place to say. It wasn't your place. And Megan's like, sorry, I should have let you handle it. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have said anything. I couldn't help myself by.
Yeah. And she's doing that thing where she's like, I'm a mom. So you can't be bad because I'm a mom. Which a lot of new mothers pull, you know. It's like I pull it for things. Like, I'm gay. You can't get mad at me. I've suffered. Yeah. You know, like whenever someone pulls their thing out. So she's posing like while she's cooing at her baby. And the baby's just sitting there on the changing table. She's like, oh, I didn't even remember because I have a baby. Like, Yeah. Sorry.
I'm co-apologizing.
I'm a young mother, sorry.
I'm apologizing on behalf of me and Aspen.
You're basically yelling at me right now for breastfeeding in public, so sorry. Sorry that you're a terrible person.
Sorry I tried to call someone when I was, like, handling a newborn baby. I mean, it's just, like, a lot for me to call someone, so you're welcome. What?
And Megan's like, oh, gosh, you know, it's okay. And then Megan goes, Shannon doesn't even know how to use an iPhone. Okay, now. Okay.
I do sort of believe that, actually.
I don't. Who doesn't know how to use an iPhone? Especially a real housewife.
Do you know how many times I've had to tell my parents the difference between a text and an IM and an email?
Your parents don't have almost a million followers on Twitter. Okay. They don't communicate via tweets and passive-aggressive Facebook Live episodes.
No, there's a certain age where using things like Uber and Google Maps just becomes like asking someone to learn Polish when they don't know Polish, you know. And Polish is notoriously hard. That's why I mention it. A lot of consonants.
So we get another brilliant editor creation in the next scene, because last week we had the tennis ball techno, and this week we have some old dude on a beach with a metal detector going.
It's like a theremin interlude.
Yeah, they're like the sounds of Orange County.
The sights and sounds.
Available as a CD this month.
If you listen closely, you can hear a seagull choke to death on a plastic ring.
Don't give them any ideas.
You can hear the sound of dreams evaporating from OC Angels.
So Megan and Vicky meet up for lunch, and Vicky's like, oh, hi, lunch. Oh, how's the baby? It's nuts, right, isn't it? You see how it goes so fast now. You understand now because you're a Bob, right?
And the waitress comes over and is like, can I recommend the tomato tower? Like, what are they serving down in Orange County? A tomato tower? And is this now? I've been watching a lot of Twin Peaks, but I've not watched the finale yet. But the conspiracy theorist in me feels like there's some link between the Rotten Tomatoes in Kelly's home and the tomato tower at this lunch.
I'm telling you, these people are getting very theatrical. They're linking scenes together with shit like metal detectors, tomatoes.
What's a tomato tower, honestly? Please.
Sliced tomatoes. Didn't you hear the description? She's like, it's tomatoes, and they're stacked up artfully with a balsamic glaze.
And is it like slices of mozzarella in between, probably?
Probably.
and a toothpick made from Adirondack trees in the rainforest.
It's like, okay, it's tomatoes. It's our ode
to J.R. Tolkien. It's one of the two towers made out of tomatoes. Vicky's a tree's like, going to come around and throw things at it.
Megan understands tomatoes now because she's a mother. It's totally different now, right, Megan? Look, I'm talking to you. Look, I'm having lunch with Megan because we're both mothers now. You get it, Megan? You get that fight from last year, right?
We're having an architectural appetizer in honor of you.
Co-sleeping. No. No, no.
Co-tomato towering.
You need some crib insurance. So Megan's like, yeah, it's crazy having a baby. My friend says the days are long, but the years are fast. Vicky's like, oh, wow. I don't know what that means, but...
Isn't that like a lyric? Isn't that a lyric from that Dan Fogelman song, Another Old Lang Syne? Maybe not.
Now I have to Google it. Because now I have to know Megan's musical inspiration.
No, it's not. That's like a song that brings a tear to my eye every Christmas. They play it at Christmas time.
It's a quote by Gretchen Rubin. Okay.
Great.
Everybody. Okay. She's like my friend Gretchen Rubin.
How dare you?
I'm sorry that I introduced Dan Fogelman into this. It's not the time or the place.
But hey, we do have Gretchen into it now. Even though it's Gretchen Rubin. He deserves better.
Here's my book about child rearing.
The days are long, however, the years are short.
The days are long, however, Tubba Wubba is fat.
Long days journey into a tomato tower.
So Megan's like,
I love Idris Elba.
No, Gretchen, that's the wrong tower.
Gretchen would not know who Idris Elba is. Okay, let's face it.
Let's face it. Idris Elba made a great movie called The Dark Tomato Tower. Okay?
So Vicky's like, oh, here we are at lunch, two bobs. And Megan's like, yeah, so let's catch up. You said you apologized, but they haven't. You made yourself sound like a victim the other day at that party. And Vicky's like, oh, yeah, because I am a victim. Okay, I'm a victim. It hurts.
Yeah, Megan, you let her walk right into that. You just gave her the platform. You sound like a victim. I am.
Could you please show me some evidence?
By the way, I sort of got chills from excitement when she said, I think it's time for Megan King Edmund's private investigator to make a comeback. I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Meglock. Justice headband. But she wasn't wearing a headband. So I'm like, you know what? You need to keep it together. You can't have a TV show about solving crimes when you don't have a consistent costume. You need to be wearing a justice headband in every investigation or you're going to get canceled early, Megan.
Now, I've actually been like a defender of Vicky because I don't know, I just sometimes I can be a Vicky apologist, but even like she's really trying me now because she's like, I'm not a scammer. You know, a scammer benefits. I never benefited. I didn't even get a casserole. Like, Vicky, it's not about like just because you didn't benefit doesn't mean you're not a scammer. It just means you're a bad scammer.
Yes. And you were in partnership with a bad scammer. I mean, if anybody got a benefit, it was Brooks. He got a whole new set of porcelain toilet bowl teeth.
Yeah, and Newport Imaging. They got great publicity.
And she's like, yes, you did. Yes, you did get benefits. Maybe not monetarily, but you did it for sympathy. And then Megan says, too bad you never got that casserole. So Vicky's like, well, you know, it was really hard because it took a year to get over it to find Steve. You know, I would never do that to Tamara. Make it so hard for her that it took her a year to find someone else. I would never do that to Tamara. And she goes, you perpetrated a rumor that Eddie's gay. She goes, I don't know what perpetuation means, but I said in private, have you ever heard the same rumor? And who has it? I mean, look at the guy. Look at the guy, okay?
By the way, it's not a crazy thing to take a year to find a new love of your life. If anything, that's like a really accelerated timetable.
That is not any time at all. Vicky's acting like every husband she ever had was murdered. It's like you dumped one. You dumped another because the cancer rumors were getting too bad.
Yeah.
And then it took another year for you to just find someone to spill some salsa on. Like, we're not going to cry, Vicky, okay?
Vicky, there's publicly documented footage of you peeing on a bed in Mexico. I think that's working against you more than anything Tamara has said. Well, and I know that Tamara said a lot.
It was dibe-sized. It was dibe-sized. So Vicky's like,
Vicky's
I like
saying
to
that, yeah,
say, have
perpetual.
You heard the rumor? And Megan says, well, yeah, but what about Shannon? She goes, what about her? Well, you told everybody her husband beat her. And she goes, okay, I shouldn't have said that about Shannon. Yeah. But there were texts. There were texts that she sent me. And she goes, well, show her the text then. And she goes, then why would I do that? I don't want to hurt Shannon again. I already hurt Shannon. The whole point is I don't want to hurt her again. She's like, well, do it. Do it. Show her the text. Bring it up again. It's like, God, Megan. Okay, Megan is now just starting shit for fun.
Megan's putting
it already
actually,
over.
Megan's actually putting Vicky in a tough situation, believe it or not, because she's basically baiting Vicky to reveal this information, because like you won't be exonerated unless you reveal the information. But if she reveals the information, she just looks worse and worse and worse because she's doing everything that everyone says she is. So now Megan has actually put Vicky in a terrible, terrible position, which is not like a defense of Vicky, but it's kind of like Megan's stirring some shit up, basically.
Well, she's not only stirring shit up, but this was already solved. It's not like this was... She's bringing stuff up that was already solved. Shannon said last year in the reunion, which they show a clip of later, she already said that was a domestic disturbance call. It was one time. It was because we both got drunk and we were fighting. And he hid himself in the secret room, and I tried bursting down the door, and... You know,
as one does.
Of course, this time she added, well, I don't know if someone slipped me something or what. I don't know what happened, but suddenly I was just trying to burst through a door. Like someone slipped Shannon some like date rape drug, but it was like the you turn into King Kong type. Like, let's just see what happens if this random lady gets super angry at home.
It's like that Wreck-It Ralph.
I became Wreck-It Ralph. I was like, where's Super Mario? I'm going to just like burst down that door and find Super Mario. I'm going to wreck him.
Turns out if you build a door strongly enough with Legos that are spread out just the right way, you can't knock him down.
It's a very strong door. And it turns out I was not Wreck-It Ralph. I was Shannon Bedore.
You know, we already know that. So Megan's just bringing shit up to be an asshole, basically. Yes. And so she goes, well, why would I show her? She goes, it's shitty that you shared it with Kelly. Yeah, that was last year, Megan. Yeah. Come on. Also, when you weren't doing anything. Come on, Megan.
Yeah.
Vicky's like, yeah, and now I'm going to share it again. What, I'm going to be in trouble again?
No! Well, she says, well, yeah. Well, Vicky.
Oh, she starts squealing.
Yeah, all the seagulls fly off to Mexico.
And she throws her towel. She's like, you can't say something. Okay, you can't say something. She's like, well, I'll think about it.
Well, Vicky was saying not like if I say something, I'm going to be in trouble. She's saying now the mere fact that I'm even talking about this with you means that now I'm talking about it again and now I'm going to be in trouble again. And that's why I'm saying it was a bad position, because now Vicky's like forced to talk about it to sort of try to clear her name. And now all of a sudden, you know, Megan's going to go be like, well, Vicky was talking about the thing and says she has proof or whatever. So like I actually could really understand Vicky's frustration in that situation. But then again, she also could have just said nothing. So
yeah, or just said mind your own business, Megan, the end, you know.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't want to hurt Shannon. I really don't want to hurt Shannon. She's like, don't worry, I'll help you. So Tamara and Shannon at the costume rental store.
Yeah. So Shannon's like, well, this is not a regular costume shop. It's a lot of it is authentic. It's exciting, authentic costumes. David, have you ever gotten me an authentic costume, David? David, are you being authentic? David?
I've invited the ladies to a benefit for a safe place for youth. It is in a secret room behind a door that cannot be burst down. I know from experience.
I'm really excited to be in this Halloween shop right now. I'm hoping I could maybe find a replacement tombstone, because here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by an inauthentic Halloween costume. Ha!
I want to dress like someone from Poison, which is what was slipped to me before I tried down breaking down a door in the secret room.
Poison, much like the sugar in the gastropub food that David forced me to eat one time. Poison, I tell you, sugar is poison.
On my birthday.
There's an inauthentic costume in my relationship corner.
So she says, this is a drag queen event. But we're already queens, so we're dressing up like men.
Read between these lines. There's a penis in between our legs now.
She's like, I'm going to be Bret Michaels because he has diabetes. And these days I feel gigantic and I could die at any moment. Also, I love the way he pronounces diabetes. It's not diabetes like me. It's diabetes like us. It makes me feel less alone.
I like when people rhyme diabetes with Ann Geddes. Diabetes.
So then Tamara's like...
Ann Geddes.
Ann Geddes also rhymes with babies made of lettuce.
I appreciate a photographer that puts a baby in a low-calorie treat. David, would you put me in a low-calorie treat, David? I know lettuce is not like mashed rows, but no. Where are you going, David?
So then Tamara's like, you know what's funny? It's like, I always joke that I'm white trash, so this is really hilarious. I'm like, yes, you joke that you're white trash. Got it.
Joker. It's like, you know me, Bash. I'm a joker. I'm
yes,
a joker, a poker, a midnight folker, whatever, Bash. I'm like, you're white trash. And she's like,
there's comedy in jest. I mean, truth in jest.
I joke that it's I'm white
trash. It's comedy in jest too sometimes.
I'm like, do you want another birthday on four-wheelers and
there's
trailers?
Truth in batch.
And then she says, I'm glad Shanna didn't tell the other batches we're dressing as men batches or they wouldn't go to the batch. And I thought, so that's stupid. Why wouldn't they want to go just because you're dressed like men? It's Hamburger Mary's, for Christ's sake. Like, we're all old enough to have seen drag queens at least once in our lives.
Yeah. Well, most of us. So then all of a sudden it's like, ring, 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 ring. It's Megan King Edmonds.
Ring, ring.
Ring, ring. Who had that phone? Was that Kelly who had that phone that was like, ring, ring, ring?
Ring, ring, ring.
Was that like Dallas?
Justice. 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 Knowledge.
Knowledge.
I'm only buying my baby clothes from Justice. Mm. So, yeah, she's basically Kristen at this point. I've even given her the, So she's like, hi, I've been dying to call you.
Yeah.
So I met with Vicky and, we were talking about that rumor of David beating you. And then she said he did, she did. She said she did, he did. It's her.
Megan, God damn it. And Shannon's like, I've already explained what happened one night. I was slipped something. I tried to kick Wreck-It Ralph in his butt. I don't know what happened. I don't even remember. Thank God there were no cameras in there because I wouldn't know how to erase the tapes anyway. What do I know? How did I answer this phone?
All I know is that one day a star fell out of a block and I put it on and like tropical music started playing and I started flashing and everything I hit just died. It's crazy.
Wait a minute.
I was invincible.
Megan, am I really talking to you? I don't see a cord on this phone. How is this working?
How is this wallet talking to me right now? Oh my goodness.
So stupid.
I like that Megan was like, after Megan left her lunch with Vicky, she's like, Vicky's like, you're not going to go tell Shannon. She's like, well, I'll have to think about it. And it's like, you know, next scene, immediately, like, I got to tell you what Vicky did.
We just had a tomato tower. Also.
Oh, that sounds low calorie and lovely. So are you trying to shame me right now, Megan? Megan, judge the eyes.
Megan says, I said, if you have texts, show me the texts.
And she goes, well, they faked medical records. So if they have texts, I don't even want to see them because they're probably faked.
And she goes, well, thank you for being a good friend, Megan King Edwards, who now realizes that I start charities. And Megan's like, yeah, it's not hard being a good friend. It's not hard, okay? Patting myself on the back. Bye.
Yeah. Who are you being a good friend to? Fucking nobody. You're just like walking in and wrecking everybody and making everybody look like an asshole and then hanging up, Megan.
Judgy eyes.
And Tamara goes, if she had touch, she would show them already, bitch.
There may be some truth to that, actually.
And she goes, you know what? Vicky can suck my balls. Yeah, I was just pretending to be white trash again, bitch.
Yeah, let's get a glamour. So now it's like we go to commercial, we come back. Tamara shows up at – now it's like the day of the drag thing, and Tamara shows up to Shannon's basically looking like a full-on lesbian. Lesbo, as Kelly would say.
Yeah, she's just like a lady in jeans. And she's like, yeah. Shannon Bedore, the whore, little bitch. Little trailer park, honey.
And Shannon's like, ha!
Bad jeans.
I love that, Valentine. Ha ha! Back with it.
I'm so happy with this bingo. What's his name? Oh, David.
David? Is bingo his name out, David? David?
Tamara's like, the girls are going to shit their pants. I love costumes. And it shows Tamara, you know, putting on costumes or whatever. And she's like, if the other girls know we're men, they're not going to show up. And then, of course, she's right. Because Lydia shows up with Kelly. And she's like, oh, I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, I'm a strong Christian and I haven't been to a drag event before.
I'm like, are those like mutually exclusive? Can't you be a strong Christian and do drag? Or be around drag, I should say.
Yeah. It's the one who's married to a very gay acting guy that's always confused about gayness. It's
like, I'm like, your mom, Judy, is dressed like a drag queen at all times. And that's the best part about her.
Your mom has like 12 tiaras.
And you're confused like, about really? Drag. Yeah. Your mom, she stole her act from Rip Taylor, and you're confused about drag?
Your first friend on this show was Alexis Bellino.
And you're confused about drag?
I'm a really strong Christian. When I feel uncomfortable, I leave.
And it showed Tamara's party in Mexico where the busboys were in jock straps, like, fucking their ears.
Lydia, I think it's time you get off our rainbow now. Don't be talking like that. You can't be claiming the rainbow, Lydia, okay?
Don't be reappropriating the rainbow, okay? Okay, we appropriated the rainbow in the first place from children's stories. Now you're appropriating it back, okay? We can't just keep handing the rainbow around in a circle.
If you're going to be calling the shots on who gets to stay on the rainbow, you got to play by the rainbow rules, okay? You're on the rainbow. You got to be down with drag.
Yeah, okay? You got to be okay with everything gay and also Skittles.
Yeah, also you're on Bravo, by the way.
Also Care Bears.
Lydia gets into Lydia's drag outfit. I described it as Joel Grey auditioning for Alice in Wonderland.
Which was close because she said Liza Minnelli, also from Cabaret. And Charlie Chaplin's daughter. Which I think was played by, I forget who it was played by in the movie, but she was right.
And all that jazz!
Sorry.
And all that, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this.
Maybe next time. I'll go to church.
So Steve and Vicky are next. And, he's like, como esta. And she's like, bien. Stop talking to me Spanish, okay? What are you, my Spanish man? Stop talking Spanish, okay? And he's like, what did she say?
Well,
my Spanish man? Oh, yeah. And she's like, Steve is a trophy husband. He satisfies me. And he knows I need it a lot, okay? A couple times a day. A few times.
Nothing says white hot romance like Steve satisfies me.
I love Steve's obsession with being a Spanish guy, which continues.
Well, he might be. He might be Latino.
He's pretty wide. I mean, I don't know. I guess past a certain age, we all just start looking the same race, you know? But but he's like, she goes, you want to know what I'm thinking? He's like, it's trouble when you think. Like, that's so nice.
That's like good. That's a good, like, I think that's sort of the mantra of Orange County in general.
She's like, what if I want to sit by divorce? And he's like, Brooks back? No. People to stop blaming you for everything? No. Tomato Tower? Well, yes, but I had that already. What else? You want a boat and a lake house. You say it every fucking day, okay? I know you want a boat and a lake house again. She's like, yeah. So I was thinking we'd boat shop as a family. You know, it's 40 to 50 grand. We could own it together. He goes, he looks pissed at first, but then he goes, sure.
He's like, I don't care.
Yeah. She goes, cheers. Will you marry me? Just kidding. Maybe next year. It's too soon now. Maybe next month.
So then she starts talking about an event she's having. I think it's going to be her birthday party and saying that her friend's going to be coming. And she's like, I'm going to whoop it up. And he just goes, you take it easy. I'm like, He's basically like a 1970s sitcom dad. Yeah. Listen, you, or 60s. Listen, you, Vicky Gunvel, Victoria Gunvelson, you take it easy now. Here's your allowance.
He's like, I don't even know what that means, this whoop it up. It means you're going to have fun. Whoop, whoop. You're going to whoop it up. He's like, okay, whatever you say, hon. She's like, you know, she's... I was afraid he'd be boring. But, you know, this, we're yin and yang.
Yeah.
We're still working it out. In other words, yeah, he is still boring, but what do you
Well, she's
do?
Like, I was afraid he'd be boring, and they cut to her saying, I like you in that color. And he's like, what color is it? Lavender. Thank God he proved you wrong. That exciting lavender badinage.
She goes, you have that look about you. And he says, that Ricardo Montalban look. What the hell? What is his obsession? This show is weird today.
Fantasy Island. Yeah. Fantasy Island reference there. It's a weird place to take it.
He's like, como estas? Yo soy Ricardo Montalban. It's like, okay.
I have a theater in Hollywood. Does that turn you on?
So in the van to West
so now
Hollywood.
They get on, yeah, they're getting into a party bus, which is actually a really good time for us to, party buses, seats, seating arrangements, etc. It's a great time to talk about the Orbit's middle seat selfie promotion, is it not?
Well, heck yeah, let's do it, man.
I know. I'm like, I know. Why am I saying I know? I know. Isn't it a good time to do it when I propose it? So, as many of you all know, anyone who heard our live show already or was there, Orbitz has been a groovy little sponsor of ours recently, and they gave away a flight voucher to one of our listeners, which is super awesome. And they have this promotion called the Middle Seat Selfie, where basically if you're sitting in the middle seat of something, whether it's on a plane, on a bus, on a park bench, or just, I don't know, at the DMV or something, take a selfie of yourself and hashtag it middle seat selfie sweepstakes, and make sure you're following Orbitz on Instagram or Twitter, and you could win like really cool prizes, like 2 first class tickets to someplace. You should check their rules. Don't rely on what we say about it, but just go check that out. So in honor of this exciting promotion that they're doing, we are doing something called do we have a name for it? Middle seat selfie. Middle seat selfie. The crap is middle seat selfie, where we imagine what it must be like to be in the middle seat between two Bravo stars.
Yeah, so who do you want to do today?
I don't know. Well, let's see. Last week we did Real Housewives of New York. On the live show, we did two Shannons with a Shannon in the middle, a real Shannon in the middle. So what show should we move on to today?
Let's do the two captains from Below Deck, because that show comes back this week. It comes back Tuesday night, which is when this is actually, it comes back tonight, actually.
Okay. Do you want to be Captain Sandy or Captain Lee?
I'll be Captain Sandy. Well, who do you want to be? You
I don't say, care.
Because I like doing them both.
I'll be Captain Lee then.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Well, look here. I'm sorry we don't have much arm room. But you okay there in the middle?
Well, listen, I don't care about this goddamn guy in the middle seat. What I care about is the fact that I'm looking at some guy over there who has his table down, and we're still taking off, and thank God put his goddamn seat back up before I get up there and push him on in the face.
Well, I'm going to lead by example and just keep my tray table up. And also, you know what I was thinking? I'd like a drink, so I think I'm going to go get the drink cart and start taking orders for people, just so everyone can see how it's done in a pleasant way.
So you're saying you're going to stand up right now while the flight is literally taking off and you're walking right in front of us?
Oh, right now? Oh, no. Safety first. I'll wait. I'll wait until the fasten seatbelts light turns off. And, you know, I see those guys unstrapping themselves from the back there. I'm going to take it and I'm going to say, would you like a Diet Coke? Hey, you know what? It's your turn to feel waited on, huh?
You know what? I would like a Diet Coke. I'd like a Diet Coke, and I'd like to be able to look out that window right there. But you know what I see? I see some goddamn dirt stains there, and someone's got to get that goddamn dirt off the plane window before we take off, okay?
Hey there, guy in the middle seat. You're looking a little confused. You need a pillow? I have one here that blows up. It goes right behind your neck.
How about this? Instead of taking that goddamn pillow, why don't you get out of the goddamn seat and help the flight attendants? You got to do some work around here. It's not a free ride, okay? Because guess what? You know what? If you don't start working around on this plane, you get a one-way ticket off this plane onto another plane to go somewhere else, okay?
All right, I finished it. Put this right behind your neck there. The banana-shaped pillow. I love that banana. Take a nap.
It's a goddamn banana pillow. And you know what I got to say, Sandy? That's a marvelous thing you've done there. That's a goddamn marvelous thing you've done there, Sandy.
Ding. Thank you, Orbitz. To enter the sweepstakes and win your own Orbitz travel voucher, take a seat in the middle of a couple of people. Do your middle seat selfie and hashtag it middle seat selfie.
Yeah.
And you'll be automatically entered. The best pictures, the most creative pictures will win a travel voucher from Orbitz.
Yeah, thanks, Orbitz. Thanks for sponsoring our travel.
Thanks, Orbitz.
Yay!
So, people who don't deserve sponsored travel.
Or a banana neck pillow. A fictional banana neck pillow.
Embarrassing drag kings on their way to a chain hamburger restaurant in West Hollywood.
Yeah. Which is basically the entire cast except for Vicky, because Vicky's now the outcast. Literally the outcast.
Yeah. Spelled with a K. It's so trendy.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
It's so trendy to make me the outcast. I'm sorry to Stevie's be for
so
real.
Fresh and clean.
Did not mean to make you pout or cry. But Meg is trying to make me bring up those texts again, so.
I know Shannon think her shit don't stink, but her poo-poo smell, her roses really smell like poo-poo-poo, okay? Poo-poo-poo.
So, Kelly's like, whoa, it's so great to be here. Vicky can't be here. And, like, she didn't want me to come. But I was like, I don't want to be an outcast. And then it cuts to Vicky going, I don't want to be an outcast. She's like, I've got plans, girl. Got plans.
I don't want to be near Andre 3000. Okay, sorry.
So Kelly's like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know why why Megan has to bring up this stupid shit again. She's like, well, because she called me. I know. I don't know why she brings it up. And Lydia's like, well, Vicky said she just wants to move on to me. And Shannon's like, well, I couldn't record things. I don't know how to do the Facebook. I don't even have an Uber because I don't know how to get the app.
Nope.
Do I know how to get an Uber?
No. No.
I thought an Uber was a potato.
I don't know how to work the Facebook. You do Facebook Lives every week. So Kelly, she's like, basically, they just talk about this Megan shit. Like, I don't need to read every
single Kelly's just getting annoyed at Megan because she feels like Megan is stirring the pot. And she's still, like, she's still annoyed about the fact that basically Megan blew up her spot about the stupid Shannon voice recorder thing. And so now she's getting annoyed, and it's like digging up feelings about their fight they had in between seasons. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So now they're walking up to Hamburger Mary's, and it's like, didn't. It's like slow motion while they're badassily walking up to Hamburger Mary's. Now, Roxy Wood, who is one of the drag queen bingo ladies, is so like one of the waitresses I'm always complaining about that's always auditioning for something. They're like, hi, can I take your order? Would you like to hear the specials? And she's like, cock fest, you're in the right place for some cock, bitch. I'm like, oh, jeez. Come on. You're just trying.
Like, I love the show. They're gonna get cock faced. Okay, like, it's great. These are like my people. Okay, like, let's go, like, pussy cock. Okay, you know what?
I made friends with these drag queens in New York, and I was like, I've never seen a show like this in my life. And they're like, you live in West Hollywood. I mean, they have Hamburger Mary's. Yeah, okay. Is that what you guys all look up to in New York? Like the Hamburger Mary's queens screaming cock a lot and making like the most stereotypical jokes just to make straight people laugh. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, yes.
So they all get out, and Megan's there, and she's like, oh my god. And so they get there, they're starting to get Megan dressed up. She's like pumping while getting into drag. She's like, this is crazy. I never would have thought I'd be pumping while getting dressed like a man, because I'm pumping because I have a baby. I'm co-pumping.
My name is Baby Maker Baby Mom. This is my drag queen name.
My drag queen name is Mom.
So Tamara has stayed with the whole gay theme and brought her fake ass gay psychic to the event. Who Tamara? Tamara thinks she's so subtle. Okay, last season, was it last season or the season before? It was
two seasons ago is when Scott came on. Scott Cruz came on.
And he's like, I'm getting the sense I don't see cancer in Brooks. I don't see. Oh, really? Because you guys have been on blogs reading these comments and even talking about how you've been reading the comments on these blogs. The Brooks has been faking cancer and has had cancer three times. I mean, that was so obvious when she did that the first time. So, of course, she's like, do you want to do some more batch? I don't want to look like a batch on TV again. Batch. I'm Christian now, batch. So he shows up. And Tamara's like, see, Kelly, this is my real gay husband. Ah. And Kelly's like, I love that. And Lydia's like, I don't.
Lydia's getting so scared because it's like, it's already like a double threat because it's a gay and it's a psychic. And then when he's like, I was a Christian for 13 years. She's like, was a Christian? She's like, oh, my God, a non-Christian, gay, psychic. I'm going to turn into a pillar of salt.
Yeah, now it's not only a gay guy who's married. It's a gay guy married to a woman. She's like, oh, my God, they're taking over everything. Next, they're going to want a cake.
Yeah, she's like, there's nothing in the Bible about drag queens. I just don't feel like I feel like I don't belong here. I should be home. Like, okay, Lydia, you really have to relax. Like, it's a bit much.
Also, bingo is gambling, bitch.
And so is opening up a new magazine in 2017.
Scott is the one who called out Brooks for not having cancer. And he's like, yeah, I saw a deception. I saw it. And he's like, typical people want to discount it. But I was crushed on. She's like, I haven't been exposed. So Scott tells Kelly, where's Vicky? Your friend's right. She's like, I wish she was here. But, you know, like, I had plans. Yes, no, you don't. You don't wish she was here. There's something going on there. A conflict. She's like, I've never done anything there in my life. And Tamara goes, well, she'll do something to you, bitch. It's like, okay. Now you're psychic. You're so transparent.
Well, Kelly picked up on it. Kelly was like, I feel like there's an agenda here with Tamara and her psychic. Like, they just brought me here to stir the pot.
The thing with Kelly is that she sees it and she still falls for it every time.
That's what makes her fun.
Yeah, it's like she just sees it, and then she's like, "A psychic said," like she'll be drunk and throwing something at somebody next week.
She's the one who goes down into her basement when she hears a weird noise. She's like, "Hello, is there anyone in here?" Oh, serial killer! I knew you'd be down here. No, don't kill me. No, no, I knew you'd be.
She'd be like, fine. "I knew you were down here." You can't react now.
Serial killer. No, you know what? I am mad at you, serial killer. How about next time you text me back? Serial killer's like, what?
The serial killer's like, I don't even know how to use a phone. How would I do that? It's like, wait a minute. You sound familiar.
You set me up, serial killer. You made a noise. You made it sound like the washing machine. You set me up. You know, you're a fucking C word. You're a cut fitness serial. I'm sorry. You are. I don't care if I'm class a serial.
Bobby's there with a baseball bat to protect her. Ah, well, you're just stirring the pot, serial killer.
What did I tell you, Kelly? If you hear weird noise in the basement, we have a ghost. You shouldn't go down there. But, Mom, I didn't think it was going to be a real poltergeist.
So over at Deco and Peggy, they're having dinner at Babette's dressed like dinosaur hunters. Like, what the fuck are they dressed like? They're both wearing cream-colored...
Khaki.
They're like in Armenia, zookeepers. Yeah.
In Armenia, we only go to restaurants that have double letters in them, like Peggy and Babette. Babette is great. The two set of double letters. Babette.
We would go to it if it was called BBTT. BBTT.
So he's like, why are you broken up, babe? It's not because of the sleep. You work so hard. I'm like, no, she doesn't. So they fight over, you know, sending the kid away to college when he just wants to be blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's go back to drag queens.
She's like, this all could have been solved if you would just do the butterfly to the waitress at Babette's.
She's like, look, if she can overcome New York, she can overcome taking over the rim dealership.
It was around this time that I noticed that Deco sort of looks like my late Grandma Sally. So that was kind of cool. I was like, oh, Grandma Sally.
I'm sorry, I'm going to college, Sal. So the queen is like, I'm going to smack your ass like this, bitch. Yeah, smack it, cock.
penis.
Wait, what?
Dick, balls. Because we cut back to the drag queen place.
Oh my god, I thought we were still in Peggy and Deco. I was like, what is?
No, it's like I'm bored. It's like I'm bored. And okay, we're at an hour and eight. Bye.
Fine. All right.
Oh, college. Oh, America. Oh, Armenia. Oh,
I just like how Deco's...
My husband beats me.
I just like how, because Deco's whole thing is that he's, you know, he doesn't want the kids to go away. And he's like, hey, I grew up fine. And I grew up with my parents until I got married. I'm like, Deco, you have stars on your collar. You did not grow up fine. There's a problem. You need to go out in the world and know that stars on your collar is wrong.
Cock.
So the,
So now back. Okay. Now we'll take you back to Bingo. I know you're anxious to move on.
And the old queen next to the drag queen, he's pulling the numbers. He's like, okay, we're going to hit your G spot with a G. Okay, it's a B, so we're going to get a bitch-ass butt-butt. Okay, it's an I, so we're going to be like, I cock your pussy. I'm like, okay, queens, okay. Yeah. They're like, Guinness is hilarious to straight people.
So then there's excitement in the group, and Shannon's like, ha, ha, we got Bingo. I'm so happy. Ha, peel that banana, my friend.
Read between this banana peel, mofo.
And
is my fucking plate of Bingo.
And as she gets her ass spanked by the drag queen yelling cock and, you know, buttholes or whatever. Her Lydia's like, oh my god, this is why God made people sacrifice their sons.
She literally races into the bathroom to hide away from the mass sinning all around her.
Unfortunately for her, there's a condom machine and a disco ball is the lighting.
And probably someone passed out next to like their check in a red shoe and pooled their own vomit. So, and then Shannon gets back to the table after being spanked on her booty, on her tushy, on her now red tushy, which we saw a close up of. She's like, "How? So, did we order anything to eat? Hey, gangsta, did we order anything to eat or no?
Now, what has more calories, the nachos or a Diet Coke?" Okay, I'll take the nachos.
So Kelly had only ordered. So Kelly's like, "Yeah, we ordered. I ordered a turkey burger." And like, "Wow, thanks for ordering for the table, huh?" And they're all mad. They're all mad at Kelly for only ordering a turkey burger. And she's like, "We can split it. We can split the turkey burger." No, no. So now they're all
well,
mad.
In
like
her
Kelly.
Defense, when you're at Hamburger Mary's, you only do see a waiter one time.
Yeah. But also,
ooh,
in her defense...
Service slam. You just got service slammed, Hamburger Mary's.
Well, also, in her defense, she was doing them a favor by not ordering them food from Hamburger Mary's because it's terrible.
How could you order me onion rings? How could you?
They all would have been racing to the bathroom, vomiting onto Lydia, who's cowering next to the toilet in fear.
No!
I didn't like that scene from Bridesmaids. So, So they're all like, Kelly, like this, because this whole turkey burger situation starts to make everyone a little chippy, and people are like, Kelly, are you going to be nice? Are you going to be nice?
Oh, no, they asked Scott. Tamara asked the psychic. She's like, is Kelly going to be nice to me? Yeah. And he's like, she's going to try, batch. And then Kelly's like, Megan goes, is she going to be nice to me? And Kelly goes, no, because you're not nice to me.
Yeah.
And when have I ever?
And she's like, well, you know, I said I wanted to accuse Shannon of recording me first, and you immediately call Shannon and accuse me. And she's like, what, you think I was setting you up? She goes, yes.
Yeah, and they start getting this thing where Kelly's calling Megan a shitster, and Kelly's saying something else. She's like, well, I thought Megan was my friend and everything. I thought you were my friend. I thought we were tight, et cetera. And Megan's like, I thought we were friends until you said my husband was having a 10-year affair when I was 7 months pregnant.
You can't do that. You already had this discussion at your house. She apologized. You made up. You can't just bring it up again because you know you're wrong, Megan. She's like, I have a baby. And
well,
so
I also
Kelly...
like how she seems to be more offended by the fact that this was brought up when she was 7 months pregnant rather than the fact that Jim might be having an affair. Because Tamara goes, you told her that when she was 7 months pregnant?
No, no, you don't do that, Kelly. No, you wait until they're either pre-pregnancy or post-pregnancy, not during.
Well, Kelly also was like, She was like, yeah, it was retaliation. I was like, oh, never mind. Do something horrific, Kelly. It's okay.
Yeah. And she says, Shannon's like, Kelly, the allegation that your husband is having an allegation of an affair of an allegation is the most hurtful thing ever. I'm allegationing it right now.
Megan's like, it's hurtful to say I was having an affair with my family friend. I have the text. That's rude.
Well, if you had the text, why didn't you release it months and months ago? Huh? So then Lydia now is like, oh my God, it's gayness and psychics and ex-Christians and kissing and spanking and now cheating allegations. Oh my God, this is really wearing on me. Rainbow sparkles, get out.
And Shannon's just sitting there going, tit for tat, tit for tat. Sorry. Done. Tit for tat. Tit for tat.
So Lydia races off. It was very much like Ramona circa the first reunion where she had to like step off the stage when discussing Alex McCord's nude shots.
Was that the same season or the next season that Ramona was in her itty bitty bikini?
I think it was the first season was when Ramona walked off. Yeah.
So now they're fighting over these texts. And Kelly, Shanna's like, well, she's not a shitster. She's a good friend. And Kelly's like, if she's not a shitster, then why is she doing shit right now? And Shannon's like, someday you'll see the role that Vicky plays.
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's so all Kelly, Vicky, you know.
Yeah, so Kelly says, Kelly's, you know, annoyed at Megan, like, why didn't you, like, talk to me, yada, yada, yada. So then Kelly just calls Megan thirsty. She's like, you know, you're thirsty. You should be home taking care of your baby, a little baby that's home by herself, rather than worry about shit like this. That's wrong.
And Shannon's like, well, that's wrong, saying she should be home taking care of her baby. That's not nice.
You can't. Every mother is the best mother they try to be. You can't. She goes, you can't criticize someone as a mother. And Kelly's like, I'm not.
I'm like, you just said you should be home taking care of your baby.
This is one of the most, I mean, in nonsensical fight history on Real Housewives of Orange County, this one is one of the most nonsensical. They just keep jumping to thing and thing. And then you've got that queen psychic in the middle, like, yeah, everyone Tamara hates is being mean to you.
Well, the funny thing, you know, you put these ladies into a costume and they always go off every single time. So Megan now just like runs into the bathroom like and she's crying and Tamara's like, she's just a batch. And Megan's like, oh, she's a mom hormonal, so I can't control myself. It's like, she's criticizing me as a mom. And like I go sleep with her.
She's criticizing my co-sleeping.
And but then it was Tamara, sort of Tamara's way to get in everywhere. She's like, let me in, Megan. That batch did the same thing to me, batch.
And she's like, okay, you can come in.
I'm like, yeah, you both have something in common. You both fucking started it, okay? Both of you that are now sitting here, like, commiserating over how you got fucked over. You are the ones who started it. You.
So then, but then it was sort of bittersweet. I think I just, like, fell for manipulative editing because, you know, it's like, it's kind of sad because, like, I stood by Kelly through everything and I've seen the way she acts. I just didn't think she'd ever do it to me. And it was like a montage of Megan being a good friend to Kelly. And then the end, to be fair, like Megan was saying goodbye to everyone. And then she sort of like pats Kelly on the arm and is like, bye, Kelly. Be good. And Kelly's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Megan also fucked her over two times in an episode. And you know what? I never stand up for Kelly in these fights because usually it is Kelly. He's like, fuck you pussy. Yeah, your husband's probably sleeping with the Globetrotters or whatever. Like, she'll say awful things. It's like you can't often stand up for Kelly in these fights. But this one, it's like, Megan, you're an asshole. And then your only defense was to bring up a fight that was already made up over that you also started. She was the one who started that text. We even saw the text where it's like, I heard you were having an affair. And she's, so whatever.
Exactly. So then Megan, like, strokes Kelly's arm and then, like, crinkles her face and then like walks off like, oh, yeah. And that's how I imagine she walks off. She makes that noise and then and then it was like sad music and
justice.
And that was the end of that.
Yes, that was a very fun episode. So thank you to Hamburger Mary's for all you do for the community. And everybody, we will talk to you next time. Go over to Patreon for that bony, and we will see you tomorrow with Real Housewives of Dallas.
Sounds wonderful and exciting. See you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.